Cash for Clunkers, phasing out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. If you're still hoping to unload your clunker for some cash, you'd better hurry up. The administration says it'll be releasing plans in the next day or two to wind the program down. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports some dealers are overstocked with frustration.
The Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, says his department is using dealer surveys and other tools to figure out how much money car dealers still need to get paid from the fund. That way, he can calculate how much longer the program can run. He'd originally said it could go through Labor Day. So many people have bought cars through the program, the government's had to hire more contract workers to handle the paperwork. Yesterday, the National Automobile Dealers Association asked the government to suspend the program. It says an informal survey they did shows the $3 billion fund has already been used up. Dealers worry they might not get their rebate money back from the government. The transportation secretaries tried to reassure dealers they will get their cash. But a coalition of dealers on the East Coast has withdrawn from the program, saying they can't afford to be on the hook for any more money. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
By the way, there's another clunker program that involves appliances. It's $300 million that was authorized earlier this year as part of the economic stimulus bill to replace less than efficient refrigerators, dishwashers, and washing machines with highly efficient ones. The Wall Street Journal reports appliance manufacturers are hoping when the program kicks in the fall, it'll spark some much-needed consumer buying, just like Cash for Clunkers did for cars. World markets seeing a little buying today. European shares are higher, about 1.5% for the most part. Asian shares closed up today as well. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P, NASDAQ, and Dow each gained about 0.2%. Military veterans heading to college are getting some help through the post-9/11 GI Bill, which kicked in this month. It provides more tuition assistance than the old bill, plus some housing and living expenses. But at least some veterans may not get that money in time for the start of the school year. Here's Marketplace's Rico Galliano.
The problem, a logjam of GI Bill applications at the Veterans Administration. How many? A widely reported number from the VA's website said it had over 200,000, quote, education work items pending. But a VA spokesman says only 9,000 of those are GI Bill related. Veterans groups don't seem worried, even if some tuition checks are delayed. Jerry Newberry is with the group Veterans of Foreign Wars.
It's our understanding that many campuses are going to bend over backward to assist the veteran.
That's the case at the University of California, Los Angeles. Nancy Coolidge is a coordinator of financial support there. She says the school already has contingency plans for hundreds of student vets.
Those individuals will be allowed to register for classes and enroll without actually producing money to pay their fees and tuition, pending the arrival of their benefits from the Veterans Administration.
Of course, that means UCLA will have to temporarily do without that cash in its budget, which was already hit by the state's economic crisis. And Coolidge says she doesn't expect the VA's money to show up for a few months. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
Fresh news today. The big changes are ahead for Japan. Voters there go to the polls in 10 days. And the Asahi newspaper predicts the opposition could take a whopping 300 of the 480 seats in parliament. Is it sayonara to the ruling party after 5 decades of control? Marketplace's Scott Tong reports on what each camp is promising.
The big challenge facing both parties is getting people's attention, according to political observer Jeff Kingston, who teaches at Temple University in Tokyo. The other day, he asked his Japanese neighbor if he cares about this race.
He just sort of rolled his eyes, smiled, and said, well, it's sort of like the difference between curry rice and rice curry.
Opposition challenger Yukio Hatoyama of the Democratic Party of Japan wants to shake things up and bounce the party that's ruled for 5 decades. This gives us the opportunity to change history, he says, and change the political leadership. The DPJ wants to cut taxes and school fees and boost domestic consumption. Many voters are yearning for something different after 2 decades of economic stagnation. Masaru Tamamoto in the port city of Yokohama is with the World Policy Institute.
The promise of lifetime employment is gone. Wages are much lower than before. What we're looking for is a new social contract.
The DPJ offers fresh blood, but it has its own problems. Its candidate for prime minister has a low approval rating. And lately, a list of its political donors included the names of dead people. The incumbent prime minister, Taro Aso of the Liberal Democratic Party, says in trying economic times, you need a party with experience.
The LDP will continue our policies to boost economic growth. Have you seen anything similar from the DPJ?
That message may get through to voters like this 41-year-old businessman in Tokyo.
I care about pension reform, workers' benefits, and solving our aging society issues. I will want to select the party that can deliver on these.
But the LDP's record is mixed. It ballooned the country's debt. Political scientist Jeff Kingston thinks it now wants to pass on a weak economy to its opponents.
The LDP, I guess, is banking on the fact that they're handing the poison chalice to the DPJ.
The ruling party trails by double digits in opinion polls, but lots of Japanese are undecided, and some analysts think the LDP could still pull off a political miracle. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Finally, for a car company, there's nothing like getting a bunch of automotive reporters and customers together to show off a new product. A couple of weeks ago, General Motors introduced the concept of a Buick hybrid SUV crossover with plug-in technology. The company hailed it as the first of its kind in its class. Only problem? The reviews were horrible. One person on Twitter even called the design hideous. So the company, responding to all the bad comments, pulled the plug. It said it'll use the technology on something else, hailing the decision as a testament to the new GM. Responsive handling, not from a car, but from management. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.